You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're listening to The Wire, and we've got Lisa here to explain some things to us, and lives in studio as well.
Yep.
So Lisa, what is happening in Venezuela?
It's thank you. I had this whole thing written down. Okay. Now I'm going to wing it, but that's
no,
okay.
You go.
No,
you go.
It's basically a big political crisis that's, I think, goes beyond political crisis. It's been an ongoing financial, like economic and political and social crisis that's been going on since roughly 2010. And so it started under the previous leader, Hugo Chavez.
Okay.
And then when he passed away in 2013, that kind of carried on.
Brilliant.
So it's, the country's actually sinking to an even deeper political crisis at the moment, because last Wednesday, the young opposition leader of the country's National Assembly swore himself in as interim president. So his name is Juan Guaido. He's a 35-year-old, rather unknown politician who was facing thousands of protesters in the street of Caracas, the capital city, when he made his move. And that destabilized even more so the country that's already kind of on the brink of social collapse. So if we have a look back quickly at the recent history of this country, just to understand a little bit the roots of the unrest. So in March 2013, the socialist leader, who was extremely loved, I think, by the people of his country, Hugo Chavez, he passed away while he was still in power. He had cancer, and so he passed away. And his successor, who was then the Foreign Affairs Minister, Nicolas Maduro, he took over without elections then. And it was hoped, I think, that he would sort of carry on what had been done by Chavez before, which a lot of Venezuelans saw as positive change in terms of better access to social services and that kind of stuff. But already under Chavez in the early 2000s, there were the premises of economic unrest with inflation and shortages that started in 2010 and that intensified in the last few years. The thing is that Venezuela's economy relies heavily on oil. That's like the main thing. And in 2016, the prices globally started collapsing. And so the production stagnated, because there was too much of an offer for too little of a demand. So it was really hard on Venezuela at that time. And that meant that there was more shortages, more inflation, more poverty, and also more crime and violence. And that made it quite hard for the Venezuelan people, obviously. But it had kind of started before. The Bolivar, which is the national currency, has been devaluing. That's been an ongoing thing for quite a while now, and all these shortages for basic needs have actually been quite harsh. So this economic crisis has become so bad that the inflation is set to reach 1,000,000% increase in the next few years, which is quite impressive. I've read that prices have been doubling continuously every 19 days on average. So every 19 days, what was the price is just doubling now for everything. And obviously that has caused the people to start starving a little bit, or at least getting hungry, because access to food is much pricier than it used to be. So access to medication is also much harder than it used to be. And it has caused mass emigration. The United Nations has reported that 7% of the population, so around 2.3 million people, have actually fled the country in the past few years, mainly immigrating to neighboring countries, including Colombia, who has received 1 million people. And so throughout this whole period, there's been ongoing protests going on, quite violent demonstrations, violently repressed as well. It started sort of against insecurity and violence, because there was the Miss Venezuela was murdered and in 2014, and that created big protests, against violence in the country. But it sort of morphed into demonstrations against multiple things, including corruption, and lack of democracy, and those demonstrations have only intensified in the past few years and month. And then there was the re-election of Nicolas Maduro, that was in 2018, was it last summer? I think. And the opposition decided to boycott the election because it said that it wasn't able to be a participant. And there were claims of fraudulent voting and vote rigging. And so he was re-elected, but it's always been sort of questionable whether it was done the right way. And so the international community has always been a bit careful about that as well. And so more and more protests until this guy comes along, Juan Guaido. He was quite unknown before, especially on the international scene, although in January he sort of decided to, well, he claimed that he would be sort of willing and ready to assume the presidency as like an interim person until you could have free and fair elections. So he said that and then nothing sort of happened. But then during this protest last Wednesday, he sort of decided to self-proclaim himself not the interim president, but the president of the National Assembly, which potentially has the right to name a new president, which then would be him. And so it's kind of legally a bit blurry because that relies on the fact that you consider the elections as not constitutional. So if it is found that those elections were not constitutional, then he could use these articles of the Constitution to then be named, self-proclaimed, I suppose, president by interim. And so he... Oh, where am I? Oh, yeah. So he did that on Wednesday. And he gained... It was quite surprising, I think. No one really expected that. And certain people decided that that was a coup, which I think in terms of... I mean, it is possible. It is debatable. He doesn't have the support of the military. Usually when people think of coup, they actually think the military is taking over. But he doesn't have that. He is the opposition leader who did it without the support of the military. But he gained quite a bit of support when the United States decided to recognize him as the new Venezuelan president. Donald Trump was quite eager to recognize him as, yeah, as the new president, and sort of like give him legitimacy to start acting as such. Well, the states are not the only country actually who have done that. You've got Canada, Australia, Israel recently, and quite a few Latin American countries like Argentina, Colombia, and Brazil. The position of European countries is a bit different. Basically, the UK, France, Spain, Portugal, Germany, and a couple others have got a different sort of position. They think more of a status quo where they refuse to recognise him as the new president, but they say that there needs to be new elections. So they've put an ultimatum on Maduro to have new elections, which he has said he would not do. And New Zealand's got the same policy. Winston Peters said that it was in the country's practice to make statements recognising governments, but that Venezuela should be allowed to decide of its own fate through free and fair elections. So quite a similar position. And Maduro's got the support of countries like China, Russia, Turkey, Iran, but also Bolivia and Mexico. And he's got the support of the military and the Supreme Court, so he's quite strong still at the moment. What does the future hold? Well, we'll see how that goes, how that evolves, which countries play their cards which way, I suppose. The United States, though, has already announced that they were going to do sanctions on oil, so that means that they'll still import oil, but they won't give the money to Maduro's administration. That could have quite serious impact. So we'll see.
All right, yeah, we'll keep following this. Thank you, Lisa.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.